Seth asked me before the service, was it proper to lead a closing song before the sermon? You're supposed to lead that at the end of the service. We typically sing God Be With You at the end of a service, but I wanted that to be at the beginning because that really is our theme this evening. If you'll turn back with me to Genesis chapter 25, we're going to look at another patriarch this evening. We have two more to look at in our review of the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking at the life of Jacob this evening. And in preparation for that lesson, I found several places in Jacob's life where God is saying, I will be with you. So I thought of that song, God Be With You. And there are going to be problems in life. In our scripture reading, the Apostle Paul was very open and clear to those new brethren there. He said that through many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. You know, one thing about Jesus and Paul and others, they were playing. They just were playing about the truth and about the fact of the matter. Jesus never promised that the life of a Christian would be one of just, an easy bed of roses. There are going to be some problems along the way. And we're going to see in the life of Jacob this evening several conflicts and several crises. And I know recently here there have been those who have gone through some things that are very, very difficult. Some of you have been told about some serious health issues, and others have had loss of family members. Just a few weeks ago, we spoke of our Filipino brethren who have been, some of them have been devastated by those recent storms, and they're living without the basic necessities that we all take for granted. We need maybe to check on our brethren in California. I have a brother who lives there, and I need to call him to see if anybody has been affected by these recent fires. There are real crises and conflicts that people have to go through. And Paul says that many tribulations, not some, not a few, but there are going to be many along the way. But we're going to learn this evening that as we go through those kinds of things, we can keep God on our side, and He's always there to be with us, where we don't have to fall and falter. Let's look this evening at the life of Jacob. We have Jacob, and then, Lord willing, we'll look at Joseph, and we'll finish the book of Genesis. We've been looking at the book of Genesis, the first 11 chapters dealing with the beginning of humanity, and the last part of the book dealing with the beginning of the Jewish nation in particular, who eventually will bring about the promise through Jesus Christ. In the first 11 chapters, there are four main events: creation, fall, flood, and the Tower of Babel, taking up a period of time of roughly 2,000 years. When you look at the last part of the book of Genesis, you find four major characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And we'll be looking at Jacob this evening. And we've been trying to give a main thought for these men. And if you look on the chart on the right, when we were looking at Abraham, a man of faith. When we looked at Isaac, a man of peace. And this evening, we're going to be looking at Jacob, where out of his own mouth, he describes his life as a life that had some trouble in it. And think about looking back over your own life, and that's sort of the main thing that jumps out. I've had evil days in my life. He knew that he had gone through some difficult things, but what he learns along the way, God is going to say on more than one occasion, I will be with you. If you'll be with me, I'll be with you. And we find that Jacob lives in that kind of way. What we're going to see this evening is some crises and some conflicts and some trial and some tribulation. But as Paul said, we're going to have to go through those things, and then we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe he's talking about the eternal kingdom. We're in the kingdom when we're baptized into Christ. We're immediately in God's kingdom. But we're going to have to enter into that heavenly phase of the kingdom, 2 Timothy chapter 4, that eternal kingdom. And in order to enter into that, there's going to be some tribulations along the way. There's going to be some bumpy roads. There's going to be some disappointing setbacks. But God be with you. And that's what we're going to find this evening in the life of Jacob. Jacob is from his own mouth, describes himself as someone who has gone through a lot of trouble. His story is told in chapters 25 through 50. There's a few chapters in there where the focus is on Joseph and a few others, but generally speaking, the last part of the book of Genesis. And his name, turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. We remember that he was the younger of two twins born to Isaac and Rebekah, and he comes out. When he comes out, he's grabbing on the heel of his brother. And if you'll turn with me to chapter 25, we're going to see a few verses here that show that really, it's interesting how there's statements about Jacob made as he's being born and at the very end of his life and in between where there is struggle. And that really is the life of Jacob. So when you have your conflict and when you have your crisis and when you have your trouble and trial and your struggle, understand that God wants to be with you over that. Notice in chapter 25, in verse 23, two nations are in thy womb, and two people shall be separated from thy bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other, the Israelites, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came forth red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau, and after that came forth his brother, and his hand had hold on his Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Heel grabber, supplanter, overtaker, trying to hold on to Esau there. But notice in verse 22, the children struggled together within her. That really becomes a theme of Jacob's life. The two struggled together. There's going to be some struggle in this man's life, in his youth, in his middle age, and in his old age. There's going to be some struggles along the way. Turn with me to chapter 31 and verse 42. 25:22 is when he's being born. These next two references, we might say, are midlife, and then we're going to look at the end of his life. But look at chapter 31 and verse 42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me. We just sang, God be with you. This is a theme we're going to see tonight. Unless the Lord had been with me, surely now hadst thou sent me away empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. There is affliction in this man's life. There's struggle. We're going to see five crises this evening that he went through. When you and I go through those types of things, it could be economic, it could be health, it could be spiritual in nature. It could be a number of things. We've got to make sure that we stay faithful to the Lord. Let's look at another example. Look at chapter 32 and verse 28. 32 and verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for thou hast striven with God and with men and hast prevailed when he wrestled with the man. A striving. 25, 22, struggle. 31, 42, affliction. Here is striving. Turn with me to chapter 35 and verse 3. Chapter 35 and verse 3. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I sent. Notice that he was with me. Underscore this in your Bible as we go through the lesson tonight. This phrase, I will be with you or be with me, is many times in the text. And that's why I asked if Seth would sing that for us. We can't quit. We can't turn to the world, worldly advice and human wisdom and human thinking. We've got to continue to let God be with us in these times that we're going through. And then at the end of his life, turn with me to chapter 47 and verse 9, when Pharaoh asked him about his life and he's looking back over that. Look at what he says himself in chapter 47 and verse 9. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And that really does summarize a good part of Jacob's life. From beginning to end, there have been some evil things. Some of his own doing, of his own choosing. Some from others. But how does he handle that along the way? How does God want him to handle that along the way? That's our lesson for this evening. And then we'll close with some practical admonitions with regard to being faithful to
the Lord.
Our young people here this evening have crises that they go through. Middle-aged, older folks. We have these things that we're going through. How do we handle them? Let's look at the life of Jacob to learn from that this evening. We're going to see this evening. We're going to divide his life up. He says 130 years. Let's divide that up into five crises. We're going to see at the very beginning between he and his twin brother that there is a struggling that is going on there that causes him to leave home. We're going to find that when he gets up into Haran, and he's going to have a struggle with Laban, his future father-in-law. When he leaves him to come back home to meet Esau, there's a struggle there. He's wondering if there is going to be a reconciliation and a reunion there. When he's back home, there is trouble in his own family. We find that his daughter Dinah is defiled, and there's other problems going on when he gets back home. He has to go through some problems there. And then finally, because of a famine, he and his family need to move to Egypt. And we're going to find that there's a struggle involved in that. How does he handle these crises along the way? Let's begin with this first one. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 25. And obviously this evening we are just reviewing the story and hitting some highlights. What I would like to do this evening is just briefly review the story, but then focus on passages of Scripture where God is coming to him during these crises and what we can learn from that. In Genesis chapter 25, of course, Jacob and Esau are born. He's the younger of two twins, and this is referenced several places in Scripture. We know how that at the beginning he bargains for Esau's birthright, and then later, because of his mother Rebekah, her suggestion about deceiving your father, he deceived his father for Esau's blessing. We know that from chapters 25 and 27. Well, as a result of that, turn with me to chapter 28. At the end of the chapter, Genesis 27, verse 43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. So he's going to go to Haran up in Padan Aram, up in northwestern Mesopotamia, for a couple of reasons. To get away from his brother's anger, and also to find a wife. But in his early life, it's marked by craft and cunning. Getting his brother's birthright and then getting his brother's blessing in chapter 27 where he dresses up like Esau. There is clearly craft and cunning on his part. He's the one that is causing the problems and he's having to reap the fruit of that, and he needs to leave. But in the process of leaving, in the process of this deceit and the problems that are happening between he and his brother, he's going to leave, but we're going to learn that God is going to make his presence known to him. In reviewing this story in preparation for this lesson, one thing that was impressive to me was it almost appears as if Jacob in his early life is leaning on his own understanding. What do I want to do? Using my own smarts and my own craft and my own cunning. And he has to learn that there is a God. And I need to follow what God wants me to do. It's not just about, can I trick my brother and can I trick my father? God needs to be in my life. And this evening, we might get up each day and we might try to do something with our own human wisdom. And this is what I think and what I feel. And how can I beat someone in this way? But I need to remember that God needs to be in my life. And so when he's told to go away, turn with me to chapter 28 in verse 10. He needs to leave home. And when he does that, he learns that God must go with him. There's somebody else in life besides me, Jacob. There's a God in heaven. He's the God of my father, Abraham and Isaac, and I need to be obeying him. So turn with me to chapter 28 and verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lifted up a certain place and tarried there all night because of the sun was set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down to go to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth. The top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, Jehovah stood above it and said, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the father of thy father, and the God of Isaac. the land whereon thou livest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. This is one of several places in the story of Jacob that we're going to see this statement. I am with thee. That means not just simply providence and care, but it also means I am with thee. You need to do what I tell you to do. It also means authority and following God's word. I am with thee, verse 15, and I will keep thee whithersoever thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. Notice the promise. We need the, when we're going through a crisis, we need promises. And God is there. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. I'm going to carry out my plan through you. That gives us confidence. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely Jehovah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Bethel, Beth, meaning house, and El, God. Bethel, house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Now look at this. It's not just one way. It's not just about, well, I'm glad that God is with me. Notice how Jacob's going to turn around and put his confidence in God and begin to make promises to God of commitment. Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, worship. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. And Jehovah will be my God. Underscore that. It's not just about what is God going to give me through this crisis, but he's going to be my God. When we go through crises, we need to say to God, God, you're my God. And that means I'm going to follow you and obey you. Then this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. In this first crisis of leaving home, he has to learn that God will be with him and that God will be his God. Let's look now at what we can learn. What can we learn that God would be with him all along the way? Look at this phrase in your Bible several times in the story of Jacob. I will be with you. That's why I wanted to sing that song. That means not only providential care and blessing, but it also means that we need to be following what God wants us to do. We're not out on our own doing our own thing. There's someone else in the universe that is with us, and we need to be with him. So in this first crisis, Jacob learns that God would be with him along the way. Let's look at this second crisis. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 29. He goes to Haran, not only to get away from his brother, but also to find a wife. And so he flees there to escape Esau and to find a wife in chapter 29. And we know the story there about how that he sees Rachel and falls in love with her. But because of Laban, the deceiver Jacob is deceived. And sometimes that happens in our own life. We reap what we sow. So here's the deceiver now being deceived himself. And so we know the story about how that Laban gives Leah first and then later Rachel. And Jacob talks about later how that Laban had deceived him. So this second crisis now is when he's in Haran and he's married and he's starting a family and he's gaining his flocks and his material possessions. And when it comes time to leave, there's going to be another crisis. He becomes the father of 12 sons. We know that the last one, Benjamin, will be born later. One daughter, Dinah. So that's the story through here. He's up in Haran. But it's going to come now for a time to leave. And turn with me to chapter 31. He secretly gathers his family and his flocks together and he leaves. And when he does that, we're going to see now that there's a second crisis. He secretly left Laban. You know, this period of his life is also marked by craft and cunning on the part of Laban, giving Leah first and so forth. Jacob says, you've changed my wages 10 times. So how does he handle that? How does he deal with that? When he left Haran, he learned that God was with him during this time. He calls it a time of affliction, and he learned while he was there, while he's being deceived by his father-in-law, to That's fear, capital F. That's another description of God. The fear of Isaac is Isaac's God. He learned to fear and trust in God. Look at chapter 31 and verse 3. And Jehovah said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, to the kindred, and I will be with thee. See that statement again? Verse 7, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. I'm in a crisis. This man's deceiving me, but God's still going to watch over me. I'm not going to be hurt. When we're in crises, we still have to turn to God. Look at chapter 31 and verse 42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. That's while he's in Haran, his affliction, his work, his trouble. God sees all of that. So whatever it is for you this evening, God sees that. He's not up in heaven ignorant of that and unknowing of that. He sees all of that and he helps us through that. And so when it comes time to leave, look at chapter 31 and verse 53. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. That's God. He feared God. Crises are not times to quit and become unfaithful and ungodly. It's the opposite. It's times where we draw closer to God and we continue to fear Him, and He is with us and He helps us through those. And so in his second crisis there in Haran, and then the leaving of that area, it's one trouble. I had trouble at home. I go up here to Haran, I got more trouble, and we're going to see that there's more to come. But all along the way, God is with him. And Jacob learns to move away from this deception and human wisdom and following my plans. He's slowly learning to simply follow God's plan. And that's what we need to do. And that's what crises can also help us to do. Let's look at the third crisis. When Jacob comes back to meet Esau. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. He left Haran and he's going back home now to meet Esau. What's interesting is that God gives him a couple of more situations here to keep him heaven thinking. He's going back to meet Esau, and look at chapter 32 verses 1 and 2. He just meets some angels. And we might think that that's completely out of place, but I believe that it's in this storyline of I'm going to be with you and I'm going to show that I'm watching over you. He meets some angels, and then he wrestles with a man that has been variously described. I often describe him as the angel of God. God using this man in an earthly form to represent God. So I'm going to call him the angel of God. But verse 24, he wrestled with a man. These are all encounters in which Jacob is continuing to learn that there is a real God and he is with me and I have wrestled with him. And so the name Peniel, and his name is changed to Israel, striving with God. And so even going back to meet Esau, which is going to be a crisis, he believes he still has God in his life. Turn with me to chapter 33. He's reconciled with Esau and he dwelt in Shechem. He's now living back in the land. And when he gets there, he's going to have some problems. But turn with me to chapter 32 and verse 9. When he's going back to meet Esau, he's going to learn more and more to trust in God in times of trial. Look with me at chapter 32 and verse 9. This is a great thing. Jacob was greatly afraid, verse 7. He was distressed. He thought that there was going to be a battle with Esau. Time had healed that friction and that fracture. Esau forgave. Time healed those wounds. They're now loving. They're going to bury their father together later. They were able to reconcile, and that's a great thing. But on the way back, chapter 32 and verse 7, he's afraid. And notice what he does in verse 9. He prays to God. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac, O Jehovah, who said unto me, return unto thy country. God wanted him to go back from Haran. Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will do thee good. Underscore that. It's the same thing as I will be with you. I'll go with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the loving kindness and of all the truth which you have showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two companies. He was very thankful, like we talked about this morning, about what God had done. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me, the mother with the children. And thou said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. He is trusting God and praying to him. And so look at chapter 33 and verse 5. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are these? And he said, the children, as he's speaking to Esau, the children whom God hath graciously given to thy servant. He's learning that in crises and in troubles, if he will trust God, do what God says, God is going to bless him. Look at verse 11. Take, I pray thee, my gift that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. Look at verse 20. And he erected there an altar after he gets back and is living in the land, and he called it El Elohi Israel. Everything is about God. God, the God of Israel. El Elohi Israel. And he had just been given that name, Israel, back in chapter 32. When we go through crises, are we learning to trust in God and pray to him more and draw closer to him? He will be with us. When he gets back home, let's look at the fourth crisis. Turn with me to chapter 34 and 35. Remember, he's had trouble when he was there before, part of it from his own doing. He has trouble up in Haran. He comes back, He has a crisis in meeting Esau. He's very bothered by that and learns that God will get him through that. And then when he's back home, there's going to be trouble in the land. First of all, in chapter 34, his daughter Dinah is defiled by the men of Shechem. And then we know the story about how that Levi and Simeon go out and avenge her wrong. And in, look at chapter 34, when he talks with them, verse 30, you have troubled me to make me odious to the inhabitants of the land. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot for causing me more trouble. And he has to deal with that. When he's back in the land, there's other kinds of things that he has to go through. But when he's coming back, turn with me to chapter 35, he learns to remove everything to be completely devoted to God. If we're going to come back and be completely devoted to God, I've been learning along the way that God is with me. I want to be completely devoted to him. And so as he's coming back, look at what happens where he puts away the household idols. Look at chapter 35, verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. And I will make an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. He often describes himself as affliction and distress. These are crises that he's going through. But God is with him during those times. And so God answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way. God be with you till we meet again. And they gave unto Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hand and the rings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Bury them. Get rid of them. Don't go back to them. If we will completely make a separation with the things that are in the world and be completely devoted to God in prayer and Bible study and being here to worship God and relying on our brethren, bury those things that are in the world. Get rid of it. Don't keep it around. Bury it. We just draw closer and closer to God. And when the next crisis comes, He is there and we're there with Him and we make it through. he learned that God does not change. Turn with me to chapter 35 and verse 9. This is an interesting part. Sometimes as we go through life, we might forget that the God of our teenage years is the same as the God of our 40s. And He's also the same as the God of our 80s. It's the same God. And the God who wanted us to live a certain way when we were in our teenage years, He's the same God that wants us to live that way now. He's not changed. And look at what we find in chapter 35 and verse 9. God appeared unto Jacob again. Now he's back home. When he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thou shalt not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be with thee. And the king shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave unto Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he spake with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he spake with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering thereon and poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. This is where he had been with God before. It's the same God. It's the same blessing. It's the same condition and requirement and service. God doesn't change. And when Jacob comes back, God comes back to him at the same place that they started with. Back in chapter, where we read that earlier, back in chapter 28, verses 18 through 22. We started at Bethel, and now we're coming back to Bethel again. Why? Because God met him there and said, I am the same God that you need to be serving. God doesn't change. I think about Malachi chapter 3. I, Jehovah, change not. I think about Hebrews chapter 13. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Talking about their character and their nature and who they are. And so we might be going through different crises, but God is always the same. And He's going to be there to help us through that. In chapter 35, He buries His wife Rachel and His father Isaac. There's challenges when you come back home. And when you get older and your parents pass away. And there's going to be those types of things in life. But he's learning to be with God. You know, when he comes back home, he loses some important things. Losing your wife is an important thing. Having your daughter defiled, that's difficult to go through. That would be a crisis. Fathers, if you had that happen to your daughter, that would be very difficult to go through. But Bethel was where he began, and Bethel is where he comes back to, the house of God. And that's what kept him firm in these times of his life. And then last of all, turn with me to Genesis chapter 46. There's a famine in the land, and of course the intervening story there of Joseph and how he gets down into Egypt. Eventually Jacob brings his family down into Egypt. So if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 46, he and his family go to Egypt. There's a new home here. And that is going to be a crisis of sorts. You know, you pick up and move and leave. Think about just picking up one day and moving to California or moving to Canada or somewhere far away. There's going to be some challenges along with that. You leave the comfortable place of your home. And yet we find that in a new land, there are new things going on. New situations going on. You're facing the end of your life. He's still going to be focused on serving God and making sure his family know about God. One thing that he does there is he blesses his descendants. Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and then his own sons in chapter 49. And we find that there is a focus on serving God. I wish we had time to read 48 and 49, but there's a focus on serving God. Look, for example, at chapter 48 and verse 21. Israel said unto Joseph, before I die, but God will be with you and bring you again unto the land. He's now saying what God had said to him all of his life. He's now telling his son, God will be with you. And he knew that from personal experience. This blessing of his children is referenced in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. When he's in a new land, he's in a new situation, what is he going to do? He's going to focus on God. Well, he dies in Egypt and then later he's buried back in Canaan. But during this new experience, he continued to believe in God's presence and plan and promise during this new time in his life. We read chapter 48 and verse 21. Look at chapter 48 and verse 15. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who hath fed me all my life long until this day. And that included crises. But he fed him all along the way. God will not leave us. Look at chapter 49 and verse 18. In the middle of all of these prophetic types of blessings, there's just a moment here where Jacob just simply wants to say something about God. He says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Jehovah. And then he goes back to blessing his sons. He had learned that God was with him and that he needed to be with God. Well, as we close this evening, there are going to be crises. We've just briefly surveyed these five crises and conflicts that Jacob went through. And we're going to find and have those things in our life today. But number one, God will fulfill his promises, but only after conflict and crises. In the scripture reading that we had this evening in Acts 14 and verse 22, that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. We can, brethren, we can go to heaven, but you're going to have to pass through some tribulations. It may be on an individual level. It may be in our marriage. It may be in our family. It may be our personal health. It may be relationships with others. But we pass through those things. We stay faithful to the Lord and we enter into that heavenly kingdom. God will give us what he has promised, but we're going to have to pass through some crises first. God gave what he promised to Jacob, but he had to pass through some crises first. Let us be willing to do those very kinds of things. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. There's going to be some spiritual struggle. He's not talking about physically fighting. There's going to be some spiritual struggle along the way. But we can enter into that kingdom. And we learned this evening that the God of Jacob still answers today in the day of crises. Psalm 20 and verse 1, Psalm 46 and verse 1, God will answer in the day of trouble. But we've got to turn to him for that. And we don't mean by that we just live ungodly lives and then all of a sudden when we find ourselves in a hospital, we sort of like a parachute, just pull the cord real quick and we need God in our life. But we're talking about living faithfully each day, and when we go through that crisis and we turn to him like Jacob did in prayer, he will be there to answer in the day of crisis. We also learn that God keeps his promises and he still promises, I will be with you. There's some places in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul talks about that very thing with regard to us as brethren. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. We'll look at one of these and then we'll close. Paul makes that same point that God is still promising that very thing. I will be with you. That's during good times and bad. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfected, be comforted, be of the same mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. I believe that, do you? I do, because I've seen it in the life of Jacob. And I've seen it in the lives of my brethren. And he'll be with us this evening. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement in just a moment, where he leads me. Will you let God lead you to heaven? Will you come and obey him? Will you be baptized into Christ? As an erring child of God, do you need to come back in some way? He'll be with you. We're going to have conflict. We're going to have crisis. We're going to enter into the kingdom, but it's going to be through many tribulations. That's right. But all along the way, we have that promise. And we learned in the life of Jacob. Boy, it starts off pretty rough, doesn't it? It starts off with deception. And even later in life, there's deception by Laban. There is manipulation. There is human wisdom. There's human planning. But Jacob is slowly transformed into a man that wants to leave that type of thing behind and just simply do what God wants him to do. And I hope that we can learn that this evening. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?